Ghost Ship Radio Network.
Sail onward.
Banterbox Radio, for virtually spotless dishes.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Banterbox Radio. This is episode 57 for this March the 29th, 2016. I am Thomas Towson. The other one here is Dan Knight. Hey Dan. That's your cue.
Although I say things.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Oh, there you are.
Hey, here I is. And you know what? I just got to say, you're rude.
What did I do?
Well, I'll tell you, I came here, and you did not offer me a beverage, and that is customary as hosts.
You know what?
Go.
It's a really terrible thing that I've done.
And I've eaten at more sunflower seeds than I can possibly imagine.
Do you need something to drink?
I would love a beverage.
Wow, you're going to have to wait 30 minutes.
God.
It's a rough life. We're back again this week to do what we do, which is find the hardest hitting, weirdest news that we can find and project it from our mouth holes into your ear receptacles. I'm glad that everyone within the sound of my voice is here to enjoy this knee-slapping laugh riot that we have.
Mm.
I feel like I'm selling it a little too high. It's
you
probably
are.
Just going to be a few occasional
mouth
heavy
ear penetrations.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say nose exhalations. Just some...
Oh, yeah.
That
some
was
quick.
Funny. Yeah.
Not somebody, like, blowing their nose.
No, just sort of, you know, when you laugh about things that you hear, you see, and they're not super funny, you're just kind of like... Yeah, kind of like, you know, it's just, yeah, so that... there's going to be lots of that. So let me just keep on going. Today is a very important national day.
I don't believe it.
Well... This time you should. I know usually I'm just joking around, but this one is actually one that's pretty big.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
And that would be National Mom and Pop Business Owners Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I could see the reason behind that.
Yeah, you know, it's good to celebrate our small, independently owned tchotchke shops.
Tchotchke?
I'm aware that moms and pops can own other things, but... That's the first thing I think of. When I think of a mom and pop shop, lots of hard peas.
I have
I think of like little country stores.
Yeah. What if now here's a question. What if my own mother and father do not own a store?
Mm. Then you don't celebrate them today.
I don't celebrate my parents.
No, in any not way. Today. Today is specifically for mom and pop shops.
Mom and pop shops.
Mom and pop shops, yeah.
Where they sell
mom and pops.
Parents.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Go to the mom and pop shop.
My mind's getting a little rusty, so I need to pick up a new one. You know, I
passed the mileage.
Put as much WD-40 as I could on it, and it still is just not doing it.
That mom was super squeaky. Let's get some squeaky gears.
Just toss it in the trash. Move on. Next. Next mom.
Next mom.
So, we're going to just hop right into it without any more diddle-daddling.
Okay.
That's not a phrase.
No. Well it, yeah, it is, right?
Isn't
people
it,
diddle-daddle.
Is that? Okay, yeah, it's definitely a phrase.
I'm pretty sure.
Diddle-ding-dingle.
Dingle-dangles.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Dan, you've got some stuff for us. So,
I do.
Start us out.
I have an article here that made it. It should have really made it into last week's. It's about a week old.
It's a stipulation article. I see. You've got to rationalize it first.
That's right. I really don't even need to explain it, but it's too good to not talk about.
Yeah.
And we had so many good articles last week that this one kind of fell by the wayside. But we used to do, remember Notables? We used to do that forever ago.
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. So you know what?
What?
It's getting pushed. It got pushed one episode later, and here it is.
You know, old news is still new news to me if I've never heard it.
That's true.
So there
and
you
to
go.
Other people, I would think, as well.
Yeah. So hit me with it.
A 36-year-old Florida man was turned down at an auto dealership in Pompano Beach.
This is a good start. I like it. When the setting's Florida, you know it's going to be good.
This was mostly due to the fact that Nicholas Jackson tried to buy a $60,000 BMW with his credit card and his food stamps debit card.
Is that one of the things under covered under food stamps?
I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in the fine print down there, so you can buy TVs. BMWs.
Oh, BMW. That's right, not TVs. BMW.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. Martin Country sounds like some sort of weird L.L. Bean type store.
Yeah, or the newest country singer.
Martin Country.
I am with my new single. I'm Martin Country.
Just in case people didn't easily identify the man with country music, his last name is Country.
I'm Country Singer. The country singer.
I am country singer. And he's a robot. The Martin County Sheriff's Office said he, quote, appeared determined to have that BMW one way or another.
Preferably on credit.
On food credit. Stamp credit. Yep. After what I could only imagine was a hard pass by the dealership, he went with plan B. So, the following day, a tenacious Jackson returned. And with his head held high, he broke into the dealership and stole the car.
Oh, okay.
As well as up to 60 other sets of keys belonging to other vehicles on the lot.
Wow, that was the long heist. He was planning on going back.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do they find... Oh, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Tell me what happened.
Detectives caught up to Jackson, however. Good. This was due mostly to the fact that his car stalled in the middle of an intersection because it ran out of gas... Because he didn't have enough money to refuel it. Maybe.
That's good.
The Sunoco down the street takes food stamps.
Maybe. You never know.
You never know. Oh, buddy, you are not smart.
What he should have done, see, this is where he really messed up. What he should have done is he should have robbed the Sunoco and then left, put on a funny mustache, come back in and use that money to pay for it.
The same exact place he robbed.
Yeah, but with a mustache, they'd never see him. They'd never recognize him.
You look very similar to a man who just robbed us.
What a coincidence.
If it wasn't for that Groucho Marx sunglasses and mustache combo, I would have assumed you were that guy.
That's funny. I pictured, like, just a regular stick-on. You pictured, like, the worst, like, those goofy mustache sunglasses, or the glasses with the big nose attached.
Yeah, and the bushy eyebrows.
Oh, I love it.
He was arrested and charged with Grand Theft Auto with a bail set at $20,000.
Wow.
Just a fraction of what the BMW cost.
Really, he should just sell the BMW and get himself out. I think that math works out. I think so. I think that works out.
Yeah. Just
pretty
needs
sure.
To sell it.
Pretty sure that when you go to jail for theft, you're allowed to sell the things you stole to get yourself out.
Yeah.
So basically, if you just pull a heist big enough and at least get half successful, you can just completely wipe it off your record. Like, it didn't even happen.
Like, let's just break even, guys. Let's just call it a draw, and we'll all just walk away.
I messed up. You messed up by not catching me in time. Really, we're all to blame. So let's just call it a wash.
The rules clearly state that I can walk away now.
That's fantastic.
Here's some money. So yeah, that's what we had. So a man is dumb, and he tried to buy a car with food stamps and then ended up stealing it and then running out of gas.
That's weird. You know, this is definitely the first story we ever had where a Florida man was dumb.
Yeah, you know, a lot of smarties down there.
Poor Florida. Florida just gets just bent over and made sweet, violent love to every episode of this show. okay, so Dan... You know about Tree Guy, right?
Oh, so many good memories.
Tree Guy. Guy who climbed up a tree and's been staying up there for days?
No. I thought you were talking about Tree Beard, the end.
No. This is about...
No.
So people listening to this may have actually heard of this. This has been kind of sort of weirdly edge news lately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me give you the preface. It's very quick, and it's that a guy climbed up in a tree.
Okay.
And he's been staying there since Tuesday, last Tuesday, a full week in this tree. And he's been a real sticky Tuesday.
Oh.
So a man who refused to climb down from an 80-foot sequoia tree in downtown Seattle is back on the ground after a 24-hour standoff that was broadcast around the world.
This is just 24 hours of this final stretch.
I see.
That was broadcast around the world. The unidentified bearded man whose appearance social media users have likened to Yukon Cornelius of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He really does.
He's wearing the correct
color beanie. He's got a big, bushy red beard. He's wearing like the same coat sort of thing. He looks like Yukon Cornelius.
Does he have like an ice pick in his...
but he is up in a tree.
Was that something that Yukon...
I don't think so, but you know, whatever. Christmas tree, right?
He was in a Christmas tree.
Yeah, let's go with that.
That didn't happen.
And he'd been there since late Tuesday morning, police said.
Wow.
Before coming down around noon on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm completely mistaken. This is a different tree man. I wrote this out and then it didn't clue in that this had been not a week following, but truly only 24 hours. No way. This has got to be a full week. Because I've heard about this guy so much over the past week.
I'm confused. Are there two separate incidences where men are in trees?
I honestly don't know. I feel like my whole world is crumbling around me. How many tree guys are there, Dan? Anyway, let's just talk about this one for now.
There's one right outside, actually.
Is there?
Yeah. He's in the tree in the front yard.
Oh, okay. Well, we can just leave him there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a watchful protector. He's like our gargoyle man, but he's a vagrant, and he pees on pedestrians walking by.
Well, I mean, basically the same thing.
Gargoyles do that.
Yeah. So he'd been there since late Tuesday morning. Before coming down around noon Wednesday, he performed one last acrobatic act by flipping upside down and mooning police officers. This was just one of several gestures made to first responders throughout their hours-long call for him to come down. Quote, during early attempts to contact the man who appeared to be suffering from a crisis, he threw an apple, branches, pine cones, and other items at officers on the street below and claimed to be armed with a knife.
Whoa.
Police said.
And I'll throw that too.
Then he'd be unarmed. He'd be a fool.
Yeah, he's got to carve his name in the tree.
That's right. Yukon Cornelius was with a Z here.
That's right.
And then a heart around it, and then a second heart next to it that says, I love me. I heart me. And the second heart with the smaller heart in that.
Yeah.
In Jokerman font.
That would be impressive. You could carve Jokerman font into wood.
Okay, so where were we? We were here. Police say, the first calls about him came in around 11 a.m. Tuesday. Negotiators later spent hours atop of a fire department ladder trying to coax him down. Local news cameras showed him appearing extremely agitated Wednesday morning while calling to officers watching from nearby Macy's building's windows. Why he climbed up there and why he refused to come down are questions that still remain to be answered. No one knows why he was up in that tree. That sounds like the beginning of a Dr. Seuss riddle. Why, oh, why was he up in that tree? Why, oh, why was it not me? I got no more. I'm done. That was weak at best.
I'm just going to go.
I think it was so bad. I may have lost a point from the last episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see. Jeez, I keep losing my place. Since word of his standoff emerged, he's developed a swelling online fan base with his followers using the hashtag man in tree.
Clever.
To report on his every move. I know. It's definitely descript and certainly couldn't refer to anything ever. This is the one time anyone's ever been in a tree, so hashtag man in tree.
Makes sense.
Those moves mostly included him chucking pieces of the tree at people below, yelling obscenities, and making rude gestures with his hands. I know, Dan. He's going to go to jail for a long time for those rude hand gestures.
Like the whole, like, make a hole with one hand and...
Yeah,
finger it.
He was making the hole with his hand and put it below his knee.
Oh.
And he owed everyone a punch.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to feel like real jabronis when he gets down. He's going to get a free punch on each one of them.
All those cops. Get punched.
Luckily for them, they're going to get him back with the countless punch buggies that they called that he couldn't hear. So it's going to be a real bloodbath.
My God. Can you die from punch buggies?
Well, I've seen it happen, Dan.
I saw a friend brutalized in a car.
That'd be great.
Or is it the one headlight and then you tap, you hit the roof?
I don't
see the one headlight car.
I think so.
And then the last person the person who misses it, they get physically ejected from the moving vehicle.
Yeah, while it's moving at the maximum speed on the highway. Yeah, that's the games I used to play as a young child. My grandfather would play it with me when I was but a wee tot.
Looks like you're on your own, sonny. Kicks you out.
Good stuff. All right, so moving on.
What started as a tongue-in-cheek Facebook post has yielded at least one arrest for Granite Shoals Police Department in Texas.
Oh.
The post read, quote, "If you have recently purchased meth or heroin in Central Texas, please take it to the local police or sheriff department so it can be screened with a special device. Do not, in all caps, use it until it has been properly checked for possible Ebola contamination.
This is smart.
Contact any Granite Shoals PD officer for testing."
I'm interested as to why this isn't entrapment, though.
Because it was a joke, they said.
Okay. There's a fine line.
Yeah.
There's a fine line there. Okay.
They thought it was funny, and then something happened.
Uh-huh.
They were contacted by Chastity Eugenia Hobson, because she feared her precious meth could be contaminated by body-destroying elements beyond the meth itself.
I'm surprised that she has to stoop as low as meth with all of that belt money that she's raking in.
Mm. I'm sorry? Chastity?
That's right.
That's what you did.
She's...
I get it now.
Can I get a point for that? Can I?
That's a point.
All right. That's good. All right.
Okay. They later posted on Facebook that their officers, quote, gladly took the item for further testing. Chastity was put into a waiting room while they tested her sample, a waiting room that looked suspiciously like a jail cell.
Uh-huh.
She was then arrested for drug possession.
Wow, that's creative. You know, it's a funny way to arrest someone.
There was a similar post made about a week before. In a whole other state, I think it was like Nebraska or something, where that police department posted something that was like, "Hey, get your meth or heroin checked because there could be hepatitis in it," and blah blah blah. And they posted that, and nothing ever came of it. Like, nobody actually did.
Nobody fell for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Clearly, somebody did on this end.
Wow.
So.
Well, you know, meth's a hell of a drug.
It is,
and your mind's not entirely together when you're on the meth.
I've seen that show.
Yeah.
Sesame Street.
What?
You never saw that? That's how Oscar the Grouch became green.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. That was some early episodes then? It must have been.
Yeah. They delved into the hard drugs pretty early on.
Well, you know.
They were originally people.
Oh, all of them.
Yeah, and then they became the Muppets that we all know and love today.
Well, they're not really the Muppets. They're Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's true. But they're considered Muppets, right? Because they're part of Jim Henson's crew.
Are they? Because I don't know if, I don't think what are they called? The Fraggles are Muppets.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
Or the creatures in Labyrinth. Or what have you. I'm not sure.
Jim Henson had a wide reach and still does. Not him personally, of course, but
his daughter's doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and his company. Yeah,
got
so
way
praise be unto him. Yeah, we did.
Praise be unto him.
Well, Dan, I actually do have a segue.
Oh!
I feel like I'm ruining the segue by telling you I have a segue, but I have to, because yours involved an arrest on Facebook.
It did.
So does mine.
What?
Well, police in Canada, don't you know, caught a masked armed robber after he unfriended his victim on Facebook. Riley Smith, 20, stole about $750 when he held up a Subway sandwich store in Moncton, New Brunswick. But the employee that he threatened at knife point was actually a friend of his on the social network site.
Ouch.
Yeah. Smith's disguise masked his identity, but the robber's victim became suspicious after he deleted him as a friend after the heist. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That always sounds so fancy, and it sounds like they ride moose.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, Mounties on moose.
Moosin.
Yeah, moosin. They matched Smith's DNA to a sample taken from a bandana found dumped in the restaurant's parking lot. Authorities issued a countrywide warrant for Smith's arrest, and he was eventually detained in Calgary, Alberta. He was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison after pleading guilty to robbery at a court in Moncton on Wednesday.
Ooch.
So, yeah, one, here's a few mistakes. I'm going to go ahead and lay them out. One, don't rob Subway. Come on, have some dignity.
Yeah,
two,
Jared did.
Yeah, well, he robbed them of their dignity. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's what, I got it mixed up.
Oops, our mistake. Turns out our mascot was a kitty diddler.
background checks next time. Subway.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what? We're not going to go. We
treaded that area.
Yep. Second mistake was don't rob your friend.
Yeah.
What a dick. Come on.
Well, maybe.
Don't rob your friend.
That's one really good way to draw that line in the sand.
Yeah.
Like, are we friends anymore? Because you just robbed me.
Yeah, I'm getting some mixed signals here.
I thought we were pals. I invited you to my birthday.
My quinceañera.
Is that the sweet 16?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Would that be 15? Sweet 15.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember now. It's 15 or 16. But, and so third mistake was the thing you're not supposed to do is act super weird after you commit a crime. And don't unfriend the person you just robbed. Mm. Like, granted, you're not friends now. You done and gone robbed them at their place of work.
Right.
However, don't be super weird about it. Just be like, well, I got my money now. No one's going to find me because it's Canada.
And right.
Like, whatever. But just do your thing. They would have never. God, they would have never even. They would have never even.
Never.
Maybe.
Even.
Who knows? Canada is kind of. They sounded bored.
Those moose will go everywhere.
Yeah. They must have been kind of bored if they were DNA testing bandanas in the back alley to find the robber of $750. This is no jewel heist, that's for sure.
The great Subway heist of 2016.
I can't wait for that Payday 2 DLC. Subway heist. And you gotta watch out. At the end, when you steal the $750, they unleash Jared from a cage in the back. You have to outrun him.
And he does this walk like he's like waving his arms at you.
What's his name? Riley, good on you. Good on you for completely blowing that small heist.
You did it, buddy.
All righty. You got one more for us.
I do. I have a submission.
Oh, boy.
From an inbal.
An inbal? Do you know more than one?
I know. I know one right now, but I'm planning on knowing more.
Yeah, you got like a checklist.
Yeah,
like I got a new one today.
Got a new one. Got to catch them all. All
right. Well, thanks, Inbal.
Thank you, Inbal Rejwan.
Awesome. There you're a peach and a real swell lady, and you done did a good service for us. We appreciate it.
That's what he said.
And we encourage others to do the same.
That's right. We have a submission form for such a purpose.
Yeah, send them to our contact form on the website.
So, let me ask you this. Who?
I'm poised. I'm ready. ask away.
Who wasn't guilty of building a fort when they were a kid, huh? Do you have memories of that of your childhood?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, who didn't?
Blankets or pillow? It didn't matter.
Yeah, I did both. I went hardcore with mine.
You do both, yeah.
I had a bunk bed that was very sturdy, like solid wood, and we split it apart. So the bottom bunk was actually on one side of the room, and the ladder part that went up to the top bunk was on the other side of the room.
Uh huh.
And it made like a cave, and I would put a sheet over all of that and put support beams in the middle and turn my entire bedroom into a fort, which was very silly because basically all I did was put a lower roof on the room.
Yeah, essentially.
When you think about it, yeah, like it's, but whatever. Anyway,
but you did, you made a tent.
Yeah,
you were pitching a tent as a kid.
Well, you know, don't let Jared hear you. All right, continue.
Well, a thrift store has built a fort of their own.
Good for them.
Not out of blankets or pillows.
Out of corpses, the corpses of their enemies.
There, yep. No, not that at all. That's really dark. No, they built it out of thousands of copies of a single book.
Oh, is it a good book? I'm guessing it's going to be a good book.
Of course it is.
They've got thousands.
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah. 50 Shades of Crap.
The reason is the donations are piling up with seemingly no end.
What a surprise.
You read a book called 50 Shades of Grey for one purpose, really.
Yeah.
And that's true. It serves its purpose.
You know, the pages get a little sticky, you move on. At least we can say this. At least they're recycling their garbage.
Yeah. The Oxfam shop, located in Swansea, South Wales, has to put their foot down and tell the public, please, no more.
Please, we're begging you.
This is too many 50 Shades of Grey. The abundance of copies they do have, they've been trying to unload them on a warehouse that will resell or recycle them, depending Great. On the quality of book.
Well, at least they're doing some good. Or something.
They're just recycling this.
Just rip them up and rubbish. Burn them for the, you know, like the homeless could use some fire.
Yeah, for right? their trash can.
For their magics. Fire.
For their magic.
They wield it.
That's what they get. Homeless people get their magic from trash cans.
Yeah, burning. They do. Have you seen them burning in front of them?
That's why I always light the fire in front for the gargoyle in our tree.
Yeah.
The gargoyle man.
It's how they harness their magics. Their hobo magic. They had to make a great sacrifice to harness such power.
It sounds like it should be like a fantasy story.
It definitely should be. Yeah.
I think somebody should get one.
Well, the newest
that.
Radio play is going to be Harry the Homeless Wizard.
I
Stinky
love it.
The Homeless Wizard. We already have Harry. Let's go with... Oh, yeah. Stinky's rude, though.
Stinky
let's
is
just,
rude, yeah.
Let's just call him Harry.
Let's just call him, like...
Harold.
Harold, yeah. So we'll go a little classier. Quote, the abundance of copies... I already said that. Quote, there are a lot of people obsessed with 50 Shades of Grey.
At least they were.
We get people bringing in new copies all the time. Enough is enough, worker Phil Broadhurst said. He then went on to say, the store has become quite a retirement home for copies of E.L. James's book and its sequels.
Yeah.
It's where they go to die.
Well, you know, where else are you going to get your crappy Twilight fanfic?
Yeah. Apparently, the book series was a steamy success with the ladies, but not enough to warrant the guilt of leaving it on your bookshelf with some other classics like Moby Dick or Pride and Prejudice.
Mm.
For those unaware, the story is about a couple of business associates, let's say.
Please tell me about 50 Shades of Grey.
Getting their dark and sexual kink on with some BDSM. And now it's a fort.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll have to head over. I like to keep one copy on each coffee table.
Yeah.
And at least I dedicate one full row to just copies of that book. And I loan them out to friends. And I really give them to people I've met for the first time so that we can really be on a level playing field and let them know how much I really hate them.
I just wish, if I was that person, like if I was one of the people that worked at the thrift store, I would look for a defective copy, possibly one with like pages that are blank.
Yeah.
And then I would draw pictures.
Lewd pictures.
And, you know, like this is to help. I don't know if you ever, when I was a kid, I really got into books based on, there was this series called Great Illustrated Classics. There were these, they were all like these really the classic books, but they had every three or four pages you'd have like a full page picture in black and white, and they were really good.
Yeah,
it really got me going with reading. I think we need
It really got you.
It got me going.
Wow,
girl, you really got me going.
Uh huh. Great.
You got me so good I couldn't sleep at night.
Oh, huh. Well, you really were a book enthusiast then.
Yes, I was.
So much so that that a song was written about it.
Yeah, that song was written about my personal experience with those books.
That is incredible.
Even though it came out probably at least 10 years.
Yeah, well, you know, let's just pretend we've got a celebrity on the show. Wow. Oh, my goodness. You're a muse of sorts.
No, I'm not at all.
Okay.
But anyway, that was a tangent. But let's...
Books.
I think we need to deface them more.
Yeah, definitely.
Basically what that all means.
Uh-huh. The bad ones. The bad books.
Yeah, the bad books.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't think anybody's going to really mind if you deface one of the thousands that are sitting
or
at that
thousand place. Of the thousands.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody
There's
cares.
A reason
nobody
why
cares.
They dumped them all off. Nobody cares.
All right, well, let's move on to something very ridiculous. We've talked about people being arrested for very silly things.
Yes.
This is actually pretty high up there. It seems like it's not like super wacky, like they turned themselves in or something crazy. This is just bizarre.
How really? Bizarre?
How bizarre?
You didn't answer my question.
What was the question?
It was how bizarre.
Who?
Yes.
Who bizarre?
Hoobastank. And Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Oh, great. So I cocaine. Can't talk for the rest of the show. Well, we're done. Let's just.
You owe me a cocaine. I mean,
well,
one approximately one cocaine.
Well, we'll figure that out afterwards. Let me talk about a man hailing from my hometown, and by town I mean state. A North Carolina man is speaking out after he says he was slapped in handcuffs for not returning a VHS rental more than 14 years ago. Yeah, this is real life. And now the movie star, Tom Green, who is trying to become relevant once again, is coming to his rescue.
Mm.
James Myers, 37, says he was driving his daughter to school Tuesday morning when he was pulled over by Concord Police... Or sorry, down there it's called Concord. Concord Police for a broken taillight. It was that moment he was informed that there was a warrant out for his arrest. Blockbuster's coming for you, boy.
Wow.
You're going down.
Can you really be arrested based on that? Like,
I just imagine like this crack like investigative team has been tailing him for 14 years and he's been like ducking him from state to state for this outlet. This like he just had to have this VHS.
We got him.
He was informed that there was a warrant out for his arrest specifically for not returning the 2001 movie Freddy Got Fingered.
Man.
At least it was a good movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what about the part where he's playing the sausage?
Yeah. Oh, that's cinematic
that
classic.
That was amazing.
Uh-huh. quote, I thought he was joking, Myers said. The movie's comedian apparently did too. Quote, I just saw this and I'm struggling to believe it's real, Tom Green tweeted Wednesday night. Myers said he vaguely remembers renting the comedy, which, by the way, some fun fact for you, has a 4.5 out of 10 on IMDb and won 5 Razzie Awards in 2002, including Worst Picture. apparently, when he failed to return it, a warrant was issued in late 2001. Wow, they were snappy. You didn't return it this year. You're going to jail.
Wow.
Yeah, this is... hardcore stuff. It must not be Blockbuster. It must be Nazi Buster. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything fast enough.
Yeah, that's fine.
After he was informed of the warrant, Myers said he was allowed to continue on to his daughter's school under the promise that he'd turn himself into the police department later that day. Rookie mistake. Now he's gonna be in Florida. And Dakotas. He's going to be bouncing everywhere. He's got that copy of Freddy Got Fingered in his jacket pocket. And he's going to be fleeing from state to state. He's going to hit that Cuba.
He's going to hit that Cuba.
Yeah, he's going to head up there and sell that VHS for a cool million.
Oh,
he's
man.
He's rolling in them Cubans.
I think all of those things are inaccurate.
Well, clearly you don't have a 2001 VHS of Freddy Got Fingered.
I don't.
Well,
I
let me tell you something from someone with experience having one. That's exactly what I did.
You haven't been through my pain.
I've lived a tough life, Dan. You don't know what it's like being on the lam from birth.
Owning the copy of that movie.
Somehow I am only 15 years old because I said from birth. I'm only 15, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think so.
Fresh out of the womb with a copy of Freddy Got Fingered in my hands.
It felt good.
all right. He thought he'd arrive and get it all sorted out when he got to there and returned and turned himself in. Instead, he found himself booked for a Class 3 misdemeanor. They actually went through with it.
Wow.
This is ridiculous. Which is punishable by a fine up to $200. He has a court appearance for April 27th. So Tom Green has actually offered to pay this for him, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
Good on Tom Green. You know, he hasn't been relevant ever since the Tom Green show.
Yeah. Well, he has a semi-successful podcast show.
Oh, does he? A podcast show.
Podcast show.
You know, we do one of those.
We do.
Yeah. We do one of those and a radio thing.
Yeah.
Radio play.
A radio play thing.
I hear those podcasts are really picking up.
No. That's incorrect. I don't know who told you that, but it's not true.
You know,
mm-hmm.
This is episode 57.
Yeah.
If we count all of our old stuff, we would be at over 80 episodes by now.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But we're not.
We're not. So it doesn't even matter.
So bringing that up matter. Is...
No, I was thinking about it today as I was, you know, looking for the number and stuff, and I was thinking about it. 80-something. That's a solid number of stuff. Anyway, let's move on.
We did that.
We did it. And then got rid of it. but
we didn't like it.
Good on Tom Green for being a swell chap.
You did it.
Tom Green.
You did it. We did it.
Yep. Why don't you start another show where people call in and yell racial slurs and make you put pencils in your mouth. You remember that from forever ago? 4chan just destroyed that show.
His late night show?
Yeah, his Tom Green show when he was doing that, the internet show.
He brought it back.
No, that was forever ago.
Are you talking about the Tom Green show that was on MTV, or are you talking about the Tom Green show that he did
on the internet? Yeah, the internet one, not the MTV one. The internet version was completely destroyed by 4chan. Completely demolished, just like all good things in the world. So, you got anything else to say before we start wrapping things up?
No.
No important plugs or anything?
Well, now that you've laid it plain, yeah.
No radio things that I just mentioned a few seconds ago?
Well, I guess now would probably be a good time since you've pretty
much made
it. Do
you have any projects that
well,
you've
you know,
been working on?
Well, we just released Vic Valentine episode 1.
We did.
So if you haven't heard it yet, just head on over. It's one page over, essentially, from, well, depending on where you got this. You just go to ghostshipradio.com and then click on the Vic Valentine in the menu. And,
yeah, the tab. Yeah.
Yeah, the tab.
And that'll get you right over to it.
Right
and
over to episode 1.
Be able to check out episode 1, written by Dan here and Douglas Osterhout.
That's probably exactly correct.
And I guess I did some editing or whatever.
You
and
definitely did.
May have played the villain. So, yeah. come check that out. We're trying some new stuff with Ghost Ship and starting to branch out into some new jazz. But while I have you, let me tell you some cool stuff.
Okay.
You can find us on our website at ghostshipradio.com under the Banterbox Radio tab. You can also find the show on iTunes and all other places you get your podcasts. You can contact us directly by using the contact form on our website. And if you like what you do, consider supporting us on... if you like what we do... I'm not going to mess that up twice in a row. If you like what we do, consider supporting us over at patreon.com/ghostshipradio. Help us cover some hosting costs. We love doing it. Want to keep doing it.
Mm.
And folks, that's all for this week.
And remember, in the USA, ransom payments to kidnappers are tax deductible.
Thanks for joining us.
Let me try again.
Check 1, 2, 3, Dan.
Hi. Wait, what? No, you say it.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Okay, hi, Dan.
This show is part of the Ghost Ship Radio Network. For more information, go to ghostshipradio.com.